I gave you. We're going to sing Lead Me to Calvary.
Healing for health reasons, jobs, other things like that. Just pray that you help in all those regards. Help us also to remember those that we know that are close to us as friends and family that need salvation, that we are faithful to lead a good Christian life, make a good witness to them, and have opportunity someday to lead them to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books now, and we will sing 132. 132. in our life, and so we can be a good testimony to this world. We want other people to know the Lord as their personal Savior. We want them to know that their sin is forgiven
and that they're on their way to heaven. We want them to know that, and that's the main reason why we're here. And now this morning, we're going to have communion. And we try to do this once a month. And what this is, it reminds us of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross to save our souls. What did he do? Well, in his body on that tree, the Bible tells us he put all of our sins on his own shoulders, we could say, or on his own body. All your sins that you ever committed and that you ever will commit have been put on him on that cross. And in his body, he bore our sins. And so he often told us that his body is like the bread of life. And so we have unleavened bread there in that one dish, which we will be passing around. And that reminds us of his body and how in his body he bore our sins. And then when we take the cup, that reminds us of his blood, how it was shed. You see, it's not just good enough for Jesus to take punishment in his body for our sins, but he had to pay the ultimate price. Way back in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God said, the day you eat thereof, you know, and disobey, you will surely die. So death is the punishment for sin. Well, on that cross, my Savior gave his life blood and he died for you and me. But thank God, 3 days, 3 nights later, he conquered the grave, and up from the grave he arose. And that's why we can offer the gospel and say to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and have everlasting life. So who is this for? This is for those who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you can say, Pastor Freeman, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I trusted him as my Savior on, whatever day it was. And I've trusted him as my personal Savior. I want to invite you to participate together with us, all right? I don't believe you have to be a member of the church or anything. As long as you know the Lord as your personal Savior, I'd like you to participate together with us around the Lord's table. But now, how should you do it? How should we do this? We need to be thinking of what we're doing. We're thinking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a remembrance. By the way, eating this bread and drinking that cup will not get you to heaven. You better already know you're on your way to heaven through faith in Christ, or this is nothing. This is just nothing. But this reminds the believer, and we need to be constantly reminded of what Jesus Christ did for us. All right, at this time then, I'm just going to ask Jim if he would thank the Lord for the bread. Jim?
Heavenly Father, the bread that I partake is the symbol of Jesus Christ's body, what he went through on it.
Born again believers is just a wonderful thing to fellowship around the Lord's table, right? All right, some announcements. We want to welcome our first time visitors with us here today. Our usher will give you a visitor's packet, and in it you will find a visitor card. If you would be so kind as to fill it out, put it in the offering box, and give it back to the usher, we'd appreciate that. We're always interested in learning how people found out about our church. We'd like to know, how'd you find out about Ray Street Baptist Church? And there's various ways that can do. And by the way, in that packet we gave you is a coupon for a free King James Bible. All right, so if you got a visitor packet, did any visitor here not get one, a packet? Sir, did you get one of those packets?
I think I may have gotten one last year.
Oh. Okay, very good. All right. Good to have you back here today. And Kathy up here, good to have her with us here today. We want to give you a free King James Bible, a beautiful new Bible as a gift for you coming to church today. And that's what we're going to do for the future. We're going to give visitors a nice packet of things from our church. And one of the best things, of course, is to be able to give them a free King James Bible. All right. And this Bible has a definition of words given in it, so it helps people to understand some of the harder words and so forth. So good to have you visitors here with us this morning. Okay, we'll be back here tonight at 6:30 for our evening service. We're studying the book of 1 Thessalonians. Everybody's welcome to come Wednesday night, prayer meeting and Bible study. Next thing that's happening on our agenda is February 5, all right? February 5, first Sunday of the month of February, we're going to be celebrating our 41st church anniversary. And so what we're going to do is we'll have our regular Sunday school, our morning service, and then we're going to have a dinner. And I'm going to ask you to bring the food. You say, well, how am I going to keep it hot and so forth? Well, try the best you can, all right? We can plug in crock pots and stuff, and we do have an oven. We have a microwave oven, if that'll help. Or bring something that doesn't need to be heated up. That's all right, too, all right? We'll have a dinner after the morning service, and then when we're done eating, we're going to have another service. And then that'll be it for the day, all right? And so then we can go home after that. We won't have an evening service that night. So keep that in mind. January 29th in the evening service, we need to have a business meeting. And so keep that in mind as well, January 29th. And our offering box is on the back table there as the Lord leads you to give to Ray Street Baptist Church. Put your money in there before and after the service. That's the way we take offering here at Ray Street Baptist Church. Also for the missionary Pastor Reddy to take care of him. He needs some medical help and he has to go to the doctor. And so if you want to help out on that, that would be good. You put a special thing in there if you'd like in the blue box for Pastor Reddy. All right, in the back of the auditorium, I just want to let you all know, we got gospel tracts and booklets and a book table there. A lot of good things for you to take home with you. Also to be a witness and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. A whole lot of things back there. Take a look at that. Some of them do cost some money. And there's a box there for you to put that in there. But most of the things are free. We have a whole lot of information back there on creation versus evolution. And I tell you what, it's good stuff. And so you read it and then give it to somebody. All right. All right. I think that's about it, Ralph. Let's continue on.
All right. Just a couple of announcements from me. Number one, the song sheets I gave out earlier before the service, we need to collect those at the end so that we can use those again. So if keep them in your where you're sitting, and we will collect them at the end of the service. And then the other thing, don't forget, since we had communion today, we have the basket out for Deacon's Benevolence. There are a number of people, of course, that have needs because of the times in which we live, and so if we like to be of help and encouragement to people. And so that basket is there, both before and after our services. You're welcome to put money in there, okay?
Let me say thank you, Ralph, for bringing that up. That's good.
Yeah, all right. Let's take our hymn books again, and we'll sing one more song, number 175.
Oh,
strand, 'tis a pity for the soul built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we never grow, never grow.
Where we'll never grow,
in a land where we'll never grow, never. Always enjoy singing with my son. Always enjoy that. Wow. Where we'll never grow old, folks. looking forward to that, huh? Troubles and trials all over. No more cancer. How about that, Kathy? Your brother, no more cancer, right? That'd be good. Boy. All right. Well, first of all, we want to continue now looking at dispensations, and we're still in the second dispensation. You say, are you ever going to get done? Well, if I could just be able to preach all the time, I guess we could, but you know what goes on, and we'll just keep on going and learning things and stuff. But first of all, I just want to show you a problem. If you don't rightly divide the word of truth in the Word of God, you can get messed up. And so that's why we're studying dispensations. The Bible does have seven dispensations in which God reveals himself to man a little bit more each time. And we also see man's responsibility before God as he's given more information from God right through the Bible. There was a time that men lived on this earth that there was no written scripture. No written Bible. But now we have a whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Now, how much of this is directly for me? How much is for somebody else? That's what we're supposed to do. It's called rightly dividing the word of truth. And here's an example. First of all, if you would go to Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. All right, you have to find Ezekiel, Old Testament. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2 of Ezekiel. Let's just read this, and I want to challenge you. Does this happen today? All right? Do you think this happens today? The answer is no, it doesn't happen today. But, you know, if you just take a verse out of the Bible and plaster it up on the wall, well, you might end up doing something that you really shouldn't be doing today. And so Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2, look at what it says here. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Now, how many of you have had the Spirit enter into you and he set you up on your feet? Well, it happened back there in Ezekiel, so then why can't it happen today? Well, because things are different, all right? You got to rightly divide the word of truth. God obviously was working in this Old Testament prophet in a certain way, and he did exactly what it says there he did. He set him up on his feet, so he must have been sitting down. And all of a sudden, there he is standing up because the Spirit entered into him. All right, well, then also go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. So we've got to rightly divide the word of truth. Not every verse applies to you and I. It applies to a time in the past. In Psalm 51, and I want to look at verses 10 and 11. Here you're going to hear the psalmist David, after he sinned with Bathsheba, if you remember that adulterous situation, it's been a blasphemous problem to a lot of people because of what David did there. But David finally got himself right with God and was confessing his sin. And he says this in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." By the way, you know, that's how you get clean with God, from the inside out. Not from the outside in, from the inside out. Verse 11, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Now, I'm going to show you a verse in the New Testament that says that the Holy Spirit stays with you. And he won't leave. But here you read that it's possible in the Old Testament that the Spirit can leave for a season and then come back. And so you got to rightly divide the word of truth. In the Old Testament, before Jesus died on the cross and then sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did not always reside and stay with the believers in the Old Testament. So, see how you have to understand that that was in a different dispensation. Now, go with me to John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. Now, the Lord is here on earth doing his ministry before he went to the cross. He's teaching his disciples about the Holy Spirit's ministry after he is gone. Jesus is gone. He came, died on the cross for our sins, provided the salvation we need. He rose up from the grave, and then he ascended back to heaven. Jesus is in heaven right now, waiting for the Father to tell him to come back and rapture the church out. But right now, he's up there. Who took his place? Well, John chapter 14, and look at verse 16. And I will pray the Comforter, and he shall give you another Comforter, referring to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you. What does it say? How about that? Now the scriptures tell us that the ministry of the Spirit will be different in this age. He will stay with us forever, as opposed to David in Psalm 51 saying, take not thy spirit from me. That can't happen today. So see how you have to rightly divide the word of truth? All right. Then go to 1 John chapter 2, all the way toward the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, all the way toward the back of your Bible. 1 John 2, verse 27. Verse 27. Look at this, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit going on now. But the anointing which ye have received of him, and I believe that's referring to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life and in mine, abideth in you. And the word abideth has that E-T-H on the end there, meaning that he continuously, present tense, is abiding right now in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And even the next verse talks about, now, little children, abide in him. So during this dispensation that you and I live in, the Holy Spirit stays and dwells within us. Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. I'll start reading, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the Bible there teaches if the Spirit of God is not in you, you do not belong to the Lord. You're not saved. You need to get saved. Well, what if you would combine that with what David said in Psalm 51, take not thy Spirit from me. That would tell me that you would be saved one time, and then if the Spirit left, you'd be lost. And then he comes back and you're saved again. You can see where individuals who do not rightly divide the word of truth can start teaching doctrines such as the doctrine that you can lose or forfeit your salvation. Many times they base that on that verse back there in Psalm 51, David's experience in another dispensation. So you see how that if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you could end up in another dispensation teaching false doctrine. The Spirit of God today does not leave us, and we are eternally secure in Christ. And that's because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, who keeps us, watches over us, and will never leave us. And that is Bible for you today in your dispensation of the church age. So just an example of how if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, false doctrine can arise. See how important it is. All right, well, now let's get to the second dispensation. I hope you all have a paper with the second dispensation. I'll ask Ralph if he would. If anyone does not have this paper, the second dispensation, put your hand up, and Ralph will be around shortly to be able to give you a copy of that so that you have one there, okay? Right up front here first, then Ralph too as well. Okay. Last time that we were together and did the dispensation, we looked at the features of the second dispensation. First of all, the name of it is conscience. And it has reference to that part of you that thinks and so forth. The time period is from the fall of man into sin to the flood of Noah's day. All right. And it talks about the duration of how long that took and so forth. The dates there are 4000 B.C. To 2344 B.C. That's pretty good there. Kind of gives you an idea of when this age was taking place. So it's long before the time of Jesus. He didn't come yet. The test during this time was man now with the knowledge of good and evil. He's governed by his conscience. And there is no scripture yet for him to read and to know what he should do. But now he is guided by his conscience. And God has given every man a conscience to know between good and evil. And one of the things that men were to do and when they would disobey their conscience and sin was to bring a blood offering. And if you remember, Abel brought a blood offering. His brother Cain did not. And so Abel was on the right side, Cain was not. And the failure in the dispensation is man corrupted himself. He did not follow the conscience and do right all the time. In fact, things got so bad that God had to destroy every man off of the face of the earth with the judgment, which it says right there, the judgment. God judges with a worldwide judgment. Flood. We call it Noah's flood. Really, it wasn't Noah's, it was God's flood, but the person of interest, of course, is Noah building the ark and putting the animals in, and he and his family got safely through the flood and came out the other side. The remedy for the failure to follow the conscience was a blood offering on the altar like Abel brought. And by an offering that Noah also offered when he came out of the ark, when the flood was over and everything was done, the first thing that Noah did was to build an altar. And there he offered a blood sacrifice unto the Lord. And the Bible says the Lord was pleased with that. And you know, I believe every time in the Old Testament that you have an altar and an animal is sacrificed on there, and later on as the tabernacle was given and later on the temple was given, every time a blood offering was offered on that altar, I believe the Father up in heaven saw his Son hanging on the cross for you and for me. I believe he saw that every time he saw that. Oh, it's an awful thing that all those animals had to die in those dispensations back then. But every one of those animals is a picture of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sin is an awful thing. And oh, the awful problems it has brought into our world. You know why there's sickness? Why is there death? Why is there sorrow and trouble? My son and I sang about, you know, where we'll never grow old. We get done with all the trials and sorrows and problems and everything. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. But God has a remedy for that. And it's the old rugged cross. Beautiful songs we sang today. I don't know if you notice at Ray Street Baptist Church, you know what? We sing every verse of every hymn. You know that? Have you noticed that? And that's on purpose. Because I believe the songwriters very often have a reason for writing each one of the verses. And they progress right through. And if you just sing, well, we're just going to, for sake of time, we're going to just sing verse 1, 3, and 4, you're going to miss. You know what? I don't like that idea, for sake of time. All right? For sake of truth, we ought to sing them all right? And so that's what we have done constantly. If you wonder why, whoa, there's five verses to this song. We'll never get done. Too bad. We're singing them because there's a message there. And I hope it's a blessing to you when we sing here at Ray Street Baptist Church. And I want you to be a singing church, all right? Let's sing. Let's not de-emphasize the song service. That is a very important part of our of our existence as a church, we're going to sing the songs, because it prepares the heart for the Word of God. All right, now we want to get into some of these things down at the bottom of your sheet. You got a list of the verses. That's where the second dispensation is found, in Genesis 4, Genesis 3, through Genesis chapter 8. I want you to take a look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, because here in the New Testament, what you're going to see is that there are continuing principles that continue on after a dispensation is over. Not everything in a dispensation is done away with. Some of the principles continue on into the next dispensation, and some of them right on through all seven until we finally get into eternity. And one of the things here is our conscience. And everyone that is sitting here in front of me today, and you're listening to us on the internet, and we're glad that we got some internet listeners out there. I want you to know you have a conscience. You still have it. And you still are responsible to that conscience that you have. All right. Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So see, here we are in the New Testament, we're talking about the fact that we all have a conscience, and some obey it, some don't. And then look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Notice what can happen to your conscience, and this happens to a lot of people, sadly. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, you look out into the world today, and people do some things that they really shouldn't do. Their conscience has been seared, and they no longer can determine between good and evil, and they end up it seems like they end up doing the evil all the time. All right, so there's a need for a remedy to the problem of the conscience not being able to totally get a man right before God. In other words, in each of these dispensations, man fails. Okay. God gives him more responsibility. First of all, in innocence, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good. Everything else in this garden is yours, Adam and Eve. Enjoy it. It's all yours. But don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know what they did. They ate and fell into sin. Under the age of conscience, follow your conscience to do what is right. And we find that they did not. And every imagination of their heart was only evil continually, the Bible says, to the point that God said, I will destroy man from the face of the earth. That's how bad men were as far as faithfully following their conscience. But we still have a conscience. All of us still have it. But it can be resisted and even ultimately seared into accepting a sinful way of life, as we say here. And then it cannot be trusted. So what I'm going to say is this. If you think that as long as I try to do the best I can and follow my conscience to do the right thing, that I'll somehow get to heaven, you're wrong. It won't work. You will not follow your conscience all the time. And you need a Savior. You need someone to step in there and save your lost soul, because your conscience, you can't depend upon your conscience to get you to heaven. You will fail. And then number two there, under continuing principles, two lines of people come from this dispensation. The line of Cain, that's an ungodly line, and the line of Seth, a godly line. And we see how that in Genesis chapter 4, that they compromised and got together, and lack of separation and so forth. And that's when God had to decide to destroy all men from the face of the earth. And the people during this time are God, Adam and Eve, Abel, Cain, Seth, Enoch, Methuselah, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, plus all the others listed in Genesis chapters 3 through 7. And so what happened during this time? It was during this time that Cain killed his brother. So Cain's conscience was not enough to keep him from the sin of murder. Okay. Did Cain know it was wrong to kill his brother? He knew. He knew it was wrong. And he did it anyway. So his conscience was not able to save him. So, let your conscience be your guide is not enough. Any more than that. All right. And Death ruled during this time. Violence covered the earth. And then the announcement of the coming of the flood in Genesis chapter 6. And the building of the ark and the flood. All these things are very obvious in this world. Go into a discussion about the flood, but you know we were at our banquet the other day. I showed you some things about creation and everything. It's just amazing to see what God has done. Now, you go out there, get in your car this afternoon if you want to go for a ride, all right? And start just looking around. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see the results of a worldwide flood that covered everything. All the mountain ranges and everything you see, if you want to start digging down and look for fossils, that's the result of the flood. It's not the result of millions and billions of years of evolution taking place. That's a lie. It's the result of the flood. And it shows you how God feels about sin. He judges it. Thank God for the cross, where he judged sin completely. And you can be saved from sin if you come to the one who died on that cross for your sins. Now, the thing about it is, and I want to show you this on this overhead projector here. And I hope that you can see this all right. I'll try to put it out there. All right. Now, let me just ask those of you in the back. Can you see it all right? At least good enough. All right. I want to take some time here, and I know that we don't have a whole lot of time here. We did quite a few things here this morning, communion and everything else. But I just want to tell you something here. Do you see the man's name, Methuselah? You see that listed there, Methuselah? His name means when he dies, that would be the first part, Methu. When he dies, Salah would be the end shall come. When he dies, the end shall come. Noah's name means rest, okay? And God would give rest after the flood, of course, through Noah. But what I want to do here is, and because this has always been a question in my mind as well, how is it that God could destroy all those people that lived between the time of Adam and creation, right up to the flood? How is it that he could just wipe them all out? Would they have opportunity to believe any of the truth about the conscience and then the need to bring a sacrifice, which would symbolize what Christ would do and so forth? Well, I did this little study and put all the dates of the people who lived during this time, when they were born and when they died. And when I put this up here, it really kind of opened my eyes to everybody is without excuse. Everybody's without excuse for not believing God's way of salvation. And the Bible clearly tells us that they'll be without excuse. But you kind of think of all those people who died in the flood. And when I did this, I saw there's something very, very interesting. Okay. Notice here now. Let me see if I can get my pen work in here. Here's Adam, how long he lived. All right. He starts at year zero, all the way over there left, all the way up to here. Then here's his son, Seth, that we talked about, Cain, Abel, and Seth. Then Enos, I'll get my pen going the right way, and then coming down to Canaan, and Mahalalel, all these names are in your Bible, and then Jared comes along, and then Enoch, now you remember, I can't get my hand to go the right way, all right? Enoch, you remember him, he did not die the normal way. You remember he was caught up into heaven, he was translated up out. So he didn't die like everybody else died. And that's a picture of the rapture of the church before the judgment would come. And I can't stand. I'm just going to have to try my best to get this going right. Here's Methuselah. Notice, I can't get it together anyway. All right. You ever try doing this in a mirror? All right, there we go. There's Methuselah. And here is Lamech, his son. Somebody's going to help me. Thank you, Jason. Okay? Notice Methuselah dies at the same time that Noah's flood takes place. At the very same time. But here's another thing that interests me with this whole graph. Notice how long Adam lived. And most of the people that are alive, take Jared for instance. Jared was alive when Adam was alive. In fact, Methuselah himself was alive at the same time as Adam, which means all those people, right up to the very day that God closed the ark with all the animals in it and Noah's family in there, the day he closed that ark, there were a lot of people who could go on over to Grandpa, great, great, great Grandpa Adam himself and ask him, what happened? What happened? And he could testify to them almost up to the time of the flood. Now, Adam didn't go that long. But others who lived when Adam lived and who could have talked to him could tell other people, I talked to Adam, and that's exactly what happened. They were in a garden, a beautiful paradise garden, no sin, no trouble, no problems, and we disobeyed God and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that happened, I'm going to tell you, nothing but trouble ever since. And so what I'm trying to say to you is there's no reason for anybody right up to the day that the flood came. There is no reason for anybody to say, I don't know the truth. I can't understand. And why is God going to do this or whatever? There's no reason. They could have asked Methuselah, who was alive when Adam was alive, and they could say, did you ever talk to Adam about this? Yes, I did. He was real old and crutchety. He was 900 some years old. He was 960 some years old when he passed away. But he told us what happened in the garden. So men are without excuse way back in that dispensation, and I'm going to tell you today it's no different. Men are without excuse, and you know why? Because just as they could go to Methuselah and sit down in his tent and say, Methuselah, tell us again what happened in the garden. Tell us again what happened. Tell us about Cain and Abel. Why was Cain refused and Abel accepted? Why is it that we have these offerings that, well, when we sinned the first time, God took an animal and killed it and skinned the animal and put the clothes on us so it would cover our nakedness. And that's the remedy for sin, the shedding of innocent blood. There's no excuse for anybody right up to the time of the flood to have trusted in the right way of approaching unto God. And that's through the blood. Through the blood. No excuse. I wanted to bring that across to you. I'm sorry for those of you on the internet. You can't see this chart. I don't know if we can get it on somehow for you to be able to see it, but maybe we can. But there is no excuse for any man not going the way of salvation. And I'm going to say to you today, if you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just as those, and this is what I was about to say, just as they could have gone to Methuselah, who could have told them what Adam said, you have a Bible right here. You have the Word of God right here in the Bible, and there is no excuse for you not to come God's way of salvation. And what is that? By the way of the cross. That's the only way to be saved, have your sins forgiven, and a home in heaven, and a new life in Christ, and have your life changed for the honor and glory of the Lord, and live for Christ, and know the difference that Christ can make in your life. There is no excuse for you, as well as anybody in the whole world, because God, through creation, speaks to us every day. We're learning the scripture, Psalm 19, 1 through 6. That's why I want you guys to really try to learn that. It's a great passage of scripture. The day unto day, creation speaks out to men that there's a God in heaven who loves you and has provided a way to save you. And I believe if any man out there among the 8 billion people that there are in this world, if anybody out there says, you know, I want to know a little bit more, God. I want to know a little bit more. I believe God will begin to work and reveal himself. I don't know how all he does that every time. I cannot explain that. Neither can I explain this chart here. You know, he kept Adam alive for... Now, notice... Look how long they lived. We don't live this long anymore. We only live 75 years to 85, and that's about all you get. These people lived 900 years. See how God gave man a long time. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You can see that there, right there. God's not willing that any perish. I'll keep Adam alive for over 900 years as a witness and a testimony. And if they won't respond, then I'm going to send a flood. And he did. We'll talk more about that flood next time, folks. And he put a rainbow up there in that sky. And by the way, that rainbow is a beautiful promise that God won't do it again with a flood, but he will do it again with a fire. And you need to get ready. If you're not ready, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We'll end with that today. I want to thank you for coming to church. I hope it's been a blessing just to be in church. I hope some of these things that we talked about here this morning will get down deep in your heart, both saved and lost. Saved, God loves sinners and wants to save them. If you're still lost and not saved, you're not sure where you'd spend eternity if you die today, trust my Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the fellowship we had here today. Thank you for good songs to sing. Thank you for your Son whom you sent into the world to die on the cross for our sins and how we're looking forward to seeing him again someday. He's coming for us, and we're going to be all caught home to be with him in heaven. And then the last dispensation will take place and on into eternity. And things will be put back the way it were in the very beginning when you created it. Very good. We're looking forward to that. Bless those listening on the internet. If any there need to get saved, may they do that right now, right where they're at, as well as right here in church, coming to know the Lord as their personal Savior. Give us a good afternoon and bring us back together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.